1. Ranger Life. This was not what George Erath had signed up for. Since childhood, the 22-year-old had dreamed of participating in a real military campaign. He had once marveled at the spectacle of passing masses of soldiers, properly uniformed and equipped with the finest firearms, trailing behind powerful cannons as they marched in step with martial music. He fancied it as military glory, regular meals, steady pay, and the enterprising life of an army on a dangerous expedition against a treacherous opponent. Erath's first opportunity to partake in such an armed expedition was playing out in late July 1835 at a frontier fortification in the eastern extremes of the Mexican territory called Texas. The scene was less than majestic. Erath and his fellow men wore no formal uniforms with glittering epaulets and shiny brass buttons with gilded finish. They were instead adorned with primitive frontiersman garb, homespun cotton shirts, buckskin pants, moccasins, and caps made from the furs of various mammals. His company had no imposing iron cannon, nor had they been issued the latest quality percussion cap musket rifles. Each man carried his own hunting knife, long rifle or flintlock musket, smaller caliber belt pistol, and shot pouch filled with molded lead musket balls. Erath's company was not regular army, but instead composed entirely of volunteer rangers. Such units operated in the fashion of early English colonial rangers, groups of self-armed men who served for short periods of time with no formal attachment to any organized military command. His company had been hurriedly assembled 2 weeks earlier in response to a call to help defend the frontier against Indian depredations. When Erath's company and three other volunteer units moved out, they had not marched in disciplined, picturesque columns. They instead rode some 80 miles north toward a remote frontier fort on their own farm horses or mules, or on steeds borrowed from neighbors. There were but few promises that had enticed most to join the campaign. Adventure, revenge against marauding foes deemed to be savages, and healthy wages. Erath and his fellow volunteers had been offered $1.25 per day served. He did not think to question whether anyone truly had the bankroll to compensate him for time served. The promised per diem was more than twice what the young man had been earning per month as a common laborer in the Mexican-ruled territory of Texas. The frontier on which he served was part of the Mexican state called Coahuila y Texas, Coahuila and Texas, one of the 19 states and 4 territories that had been formed 14 years earlier, when the Republic of Mexico fought for and won its independence from Spain in 1821. Militia companies had operated in Texas since the first Anglo colonists had begun to settle, but longer-term ranger companies had rarely served in Coahuila y Texas. Erath was actually participating in the first-ever organized battalion of Texas Rangers to go on campaign against the Indians. None of the volunteer gunmen of his company, farmers, merchants, land speculators, men from all walks of life, were native to this region. All had been born in the United States or overseas. The company commander, Captain George Washington Barnett, was a 41-year-old doctor who had moved his practice from Tennessee to Texas only a year before. 28-year-old First Lieutenant William Warner Hill, who made his living trading horses and mules, had only been in Texas for 7 months. Private Isham G. Belcher, originally from Missouri, had settled 10 years earlier, making him one of the oldest Texians of the unit. Such was the mixed bag of settlers serving with Private Erath on the 1st of August, 1835, when they rode into the little stockade and blockhouse fort recently constructed by the Parker family. Brothers James and Silas Parker had overseen the project, and their results were impressive. The 4-acre complex was surrounded by 12-foot-high log walls, with the tops hewn to sharp points. On 2 corners, wooden blockhouses were built both as lookout posts and as bastions for firing upon attacking Indians. 6 tiny cabins were attached to the inside walls of the fort. Each cramped cabin had a fireplace, a bed, a homemade meal table, and bare dirt floors. Thousands of acres of fertile croplands sprawled in the prairies surrounding Fort Parker. Their land lay in Robertson's Colony, and 3 of the married men, James Parker, Silas Parker, and their brother-in-law, Luther Thomas Martin Plummer, had each received a league and labor of land, amounting to 4,600 acres. They built the fort near present Groesbeck, near the headwaters of the Navasota River. George Erath noted the recuperating members of the Volunteer Ranger Company of Captain Robert Morris Coleman, who had been at the Parker compound for several weeks. The young children of the outpost had become accustomed to the sights, sounds, and smells of dirty, rugged frontiersmen who now used the family's settlement as their temporary staging area.